Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on your podcast platforms and on YouTube. Like and subscribe there as well. Joining me today, NBA reporter Esfandiar Berihani, SDPN Sports, the Objective Basketball Podcast. Joining me to talk about that crappy-ass game that we witnessed last night. 119-108, the Raptors lose. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I have grown past the point of Raptors hurting us in a point where, you know, I'm okay now. I'm all right. I expect it. It's not the unexpected. They say expect the unexpected. I expect the expected. Okay. And sometimes disappointment is right around the corner with these Toronto Raptors. And obviously last night was an example of that.
Hey, what tasted worse? Was it the mustard juice you drank in Salt Lake City or just the taste of that Raptors game last night?
Yeah. Look, man, the mustard is really bad. It's really bad. So I can't lean with anything other than that. I highly recommend you guys never have mustard tasting soda or grass tasting soda. Also, not a good one. No.
Was
not
pickle
at all.
Any better? The pickle juice?
Pickle was actually not that bad.
I think that'd actually be pretty good, right? It's very salty, right? It's got some flavor to it. Right? But
the game itself, that was probably one of the tougher Raptors games to endure through, just simply for the fact that, you know, especially with how important this game was going in, you knew what the stakes were going into this game. You knew the preparation that was required for facing a team like the Wizards, who, by the way, are playing some pretty good basketball. I know people like to dog on the Wizards. People like to go ahead and clown them for being a mediocre team for the past couple of years. But they've built up a decently good roster. It's frisky. It's competitive. Mm-hmm. They have NBA talent that is worthy of being considered, whether it be Kristaps Porzingis, Bradley Beal, Kyle Kuzma, DeLon Wright, who was exceptional last night. I think there's a lot of NBA talent on that team, and they need to be taken seriously. I think, you know, the first quarter going on that 10-0 run at the beginning, Kyle Kuzma just going off like that, kind of shows you that the Raptors didn't take this game as seriously as they should have, or at least weren't as prepared as they should have been for this game. Yeah. And so just a bad tasting loss after this one.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that they're playing two centers at power forward and center, pretty crazy. Like legit seven footers. Daniel Gafford is a monster. And Kristaps Porzingis, I mean, he's had his ups and downs, but I think he's had a career year. So he's been very good. And Kyle Kuzma, he was hitting some really tough shots to start that game. And when I was seeing those, and this isn't like a discredit to anyone on the Raptors, but I'm like, we don't have anyone that can do that. Yeah. And few teams do, but he has that vault of ability from the three-point line, from beyond the three-point line, and he can get downhill. And it was a great start for them. You know, fortunately, the Raptors did turn around in that quarter, but we know how the rest of it went. Do you think we talked about it a little bit already, but do you think last night was more of a product of the Raptors not, you know, playing up to their caliber? Or was it that we have to respect the Wizards a little bit more because of what we just talked about? They got Beal, Kuzma, DeLon Wright is a starting caliber point guard, and then the two seven-footers.
I hate to give you the nuanced answer, but it's probably a little bit of both.
But it probably is,
You know, I hate to do it because obviously it's so much better to be like, oh, it was all this, you know? But yeah, it was, at the end of the day, it was a little bit of both. I think the Wizards are underrated in the way that they approach things. Like you mentioned, with the way that they're also a great rebounding team, so you're not going to be as advantageous on the boards as the Raptors would like to be usually. I think the fact that they have that double big lineup is really, really interesting. It poses a different threat. Maybe that's why Nick Nurse didn't go to Jakob Poeltl. Maybe that's why he ended up deciding to go smaller in the first half and then clearly decided against it in the second half by running Jakob. But I think that's maybe one of the more interesting aspects is just how the Wizards match up with the Raptors. What kind of specific, like, defensive-oriented challenges they bring to the Raptors in terms of point of attack, especially with guards like Bradley Beal and DeLon Wright, who can create off the dribble, who can create for others, and also create for themselves. Like, DeLon can't create for himself like Bradley Beal can, but he can still be that connector, that connective tissue for an offense. And then you have Beal and Kuzma, who can break you down off the dribble, who can make tough shots. So it poses an interesting threat for the way the Raptors like to approach things, especially with their aggressive style on defense, which has been well documented. So I'm curious to see what your observation is, because for me, it was more like this team completely deteriorates defensively without Jakob. And the solution to that, ... I'm not sure, you know?
Well, we're going to get to this in a second, but because you mentioned it, the Raptors were outscored 50-30 when Jakob Poeltl was not on the court last night.
Right.
50-30. And his stretch that he missed in the first half was way too long. I think Nick Nurse probably knows that now. But then in the second half, he only sat for 3 minutes. And in that 3 minute stretch, they got outscored 10-2. So this is like a pretty big problem for the Raptors. Just touching back to the double big. So Chris Porzingis, OG Anunoby, that matchup, I mean, I'm happy that OG had the game that he did, because I think it would have been a real problem if he wasn't able to capitalize on, you know, Porzingis in space. Sure, when he gets under the rim, you know, he got blocked in that first possession. But then after that, he kind of found a groove and he was able to get downhill. He was creating for his teammates. And obviously fourth quarter, I mean, when they were making their little fake comeback that we all know and love, he had four straight field goals to himself. Right. Mm-hmm. And then defensively, Bradley Beal, he is a terrific basketball player, terrific offensive talent, but he shot 5 of 14. And a lot of that was OG Anunoby. So a credit to him. He was one of their best players along with Jakob Poeltl. For the Raptors now, yeah, like, what do you do with the non-Yak minutes, or how do you balance things out a little bit between when Yak has to sit? I mean, probably, I think he played like, what, 34 minutes last night or 31? That should probably be around 37. But how do you balance it out? I think you probably have to have him with the bench unit. I think that's probably for the best. And it's the same reason why I like Christian Coloco with the bench unit back in the day, because it gives you a defensive baseline. And if they're, you know, committing those live ball turnovers, then you're screwed anyways. So those can't happen, but also gives you a pick and roll threat for Will Barton, for Gary Trent Jr., ways that they can create some offense. A lot of it was isolation heavy, and the Raptors, I mean, they're not a great half court team. We know this. Last night, 88.5 points per 100 half court plays. That's worse than it should be, but it's kind of what we expected in a way.
Yeah.
They got to hit threes, though. That's kind of what it comes down to. They have to hit their shots. Yeah.
And look, I think they were generating a lot of open good looks in this game, especially with Jakob out of the short roll, finding guys in the corner, finding guys set up or spot up and kind of like that corner spot, or maybe even a little bit higher up. He's been finding guys. The thing is, they just haven't been able to knock down shots. And to your point earlier about the way they're going to be staggering these minutes and figuring out, I think the key thing here is figuring out how to stagger your starters.
Yeah.
But the issue there is that the starters have been inconsistent in which games they would like to show up or decide to show up. So when you stagger them, it's hard to rely on one or the other. Like, with Scotty, you can understand, like, look, there's going to be growing pains with a guy like Scotty Barnes, who's trying to figure things out, sophomore, he's still working out the kinks of his game. Absolutely, right? Like, there's going to be off nights, and I think last night was one of those off nights. But is that a guy that you can now necessarily rely on as a staggered starter? I'm not sure. Like, can he lead a lineup with another guy? That's a question you have to ask yourself. Same thing applies for OG Anunoby, who last night was terrific. He had an excellent game, hit his shots, was probably the best shooter for the Raptors last night. He was the best shooter for the Raptors last night. So, yes, he can show up, but then there's been other games earlier since he's come back from his injury that Anunoby couldn't be relied on as a staggered starter. So can you put Scotty and OG together? That's a question you have to ask yourself. And now it's, okay, obviously we know Fred and Pascal minutes do extremely well. They're outside of Jakob, who is plus 30 for the season already in plus minus. It's Scotty and Pascal and Fred that are the best in terms of plus minus in affecting the game. Are you going to split up Pascal and Fred and put them on different, you know, kind of intervals, if you will, of the game to be able to run this rotation a little bit more tightly. And yeah, I guess the Jakob question comes down to who is he paired with? Who are the guys that he's pit with most?
Yeah.
It's been Fred mostly, but maybe it could be Jakob. Maybe it could be Scotty. Maybe it could be someone else. I think these are questions that with 19, 18 games, whatever it is that's left, that's tough to be able to determine.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
that's what you're left with right now.
Yeah. And I think that's why Nick Nurse made the decision that he did to go with that four bench players with Fred, is that he knows that if they want to make any kind of noise, if they want to make a move into that top six, they need some kind of baseline with the bench unit too. And even though he was trying to, you know, be pretty pretty safe with his starter minutes, they still got to 38, 39 for a few of them because they had to play so much in the second half. So I like the idea of using Will Barton as a true catch and shoot player when the Wizards are, you know, so heavily guarding the paint, and the Raptors last night, I mean, it was just walled off. Like, there was no space in there. And so they had to hit the shots. And Fred, if he's not shooting well from three, I mean, they generally lose the games. Like, that's just how it goes. And especially against the Wizards, when there isn't any space in the paint, he has to go. If he's taking 11 shots, he probably has to hit five of them. Like, that's just reality. And right. They were clean looks, so they were generating some good shots. But I am curious, like, the first decision that Nick made was he took out Jakob and he put in Achiuwa. Like, okay, like, I understand what you're saying, but maybe you take out another person and maybe you put in, like, Gary Trent Jr. as well. Or Will Barton or something like that. And that way, then you have Jakob plus another starter starting with second quarter with a few bench players. And maybe this, like, it's balancing out a little bit. I don't like the idea of splitting up Fred and Pascal. I understand why you do it, but it's just, again, we're trying to get as safe as we can with our 48 minutes of basketball. And if you stagger like Jakob and maybe it's a Scotty Barnes, then you give him like a couple of, you know, good shooters, a Thad Young, a connective piece, something like that. Like, maybe you can cook with something, but it's not easy. Like, the fact that they don't have enough shooting in their starting lineup is starting to rear its ugly head, right? Mm-hmm. Especially against the Wizards, it could be a problem again on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing is they have hypothetical shooting on there because Pascal has been better this season as a shooter.
No, you're right.
I think
you're right.
Like Fred, for a long stretch there in January and bulk of February was he was back to his regular level, almost regular level at 3-point shooting.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think they have that. It's just some nights it just doesn't show up no matter the amount of spacing, no matter the amount of open shots. The other thing I wanted to mention to you, at the end of that Chicago game, they ended up closing without Jakob. It was the five-man starting lineup pre-Jakob with Scotty and OG and Pascal as your front court and then Fred and Gary as your back court. I wonder if they lean more heavily into that lineup without Jakob. So if Jakob and one or two of those guys can be staggered into a bench lineup and now you have that five-man lineup as your kind of carrying, I don't know, I don't want to say a bench lineup, but another transitional lineup that you can throw out there.
Sure.
That can work defensively. Those guys have a connectiveness to them defensively. They know each other. They're familiar with each other's game.
Yeah.
And like you said, it creates a base level of competency. I wonder if they go back to that. That's something I'm curious about. Samson Folk also on his reaction podcast, I believe he mentioned something similar to that where it's like, hey, they went with that five-man lineup.
Yeah.
Maybe that's something they can lean into more. And I totally agree. I think that's something that's interesting to look for. Maybe that's something they explore on Saturday.
I think you could do that also with when Daniel Gafford checks out. He tends to check out around the 4 or 5 minute mark, and then he starts the second quarter. Once he checks out, then like the double big thing isn't as big of a deal. And you could see, you know, OG and Scotty being able to guard Kristaps. I was listening to the Wizards broadcast, and they were saying that, you know, Porzingis, like, it's a mismatch for anyone on the Raptors because of his size. And he hit a few shots over OG and Scotty, and that's fine. But you feel good about, again, the defense you can offer from that traditional starting lineup that we talked about. And then once Gafford comes in, I just don't like the Achiuwa and Boucher having to deal with Gafford. Mm-hmm. It's a problem. Like, he is a force, man. He is a big, big dude. I love the Yak and Fred pick and roll, but in him and drop, like, there was no space for Fred even to see over, over Gafford. And he couldn't even find Yak on some of those roles because he's not tall enough to get there.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. And between Porzingis, Gafford, and Kuzma, that's a large front court. Like, like, we talk about the Raptors providing a lot of size in the front court and whatnot, but what has been the biggest issue the Raptors have had to face, or the teams that they've had the hardest, you know, kind of thing to guard with, are teams that can outsize them. The Orlando Magic games, if you guys recall, I don't want to bring back trauma, but those were awful games because the Magic outsized them. They were just bigger than them. Sure. Any team that has been able to dominate the size matchup, I think the Pelicans are another example of that earlier when they had Zion Williamson.
I hear you.
And any team that's been able to do that has successfully beat the Raptors and masterfully beat the Raptors. And I think the Wizards are probably in that category as well with that double big lineup plus Kuzma. Yeah. That's an average height of 7 feet tall right there. So
yeah. We saw a little bit more of Will Barton yesterday. In the first game when he like first became a Raptor, he played 4 minutes or something like that. Last night he played seven. What have your impressions been of him? So far, I mean, I think last night it's not the best example because of the tinkering that Nick Nurse is doing with his units, but I still like the addition. I think they have to adjust how they use him.
Yeah. My expectations weren't extremely high going into the Will Barton signing. I didn't expect him to come out and be an immediate contributor or anything. I think it was just taking a risk, giving a chance to a guy who has proven in the past that he's been a playoff player, a playoff rotation guy, obviously with the Denver Nuggets, it's been well documented. So it was more so a guy that you can trust his resume and be like, okay, maybe he can find that here in Toronto. He obviously couldn't have that success in Washington. He struggled. He fell out of the rotation with the Wizards. And now with the Raptors, you're kind of wondering, okay, maybe the floor spacing that he provides, maybe some of the secondary ball handling he provides can help this team. And I think in theory, that does make sense. I think that that does check out in terms of a line of thinking when it comes to signing Will Barton. I personally think that Jeff Doughton should be getting more run over him, though. That's my opinion.
No, I hear what you're saying, man.
I would even say maybe even Malachi Flynn should get more opportunity than a Will Barton, because those guys, one, have been integrated in your system much earlier. It's easier to integrate those guys into it. Two, I think Doughton and Flynn probably provide more for you at the point of attack, even though Flynn is undersized a little bit. I think Doughton has been tremendous at the point of attack defensively for this team. Yep. And you need that, especially in your bench units, because your bench minus Jakob is bleeding points. and when you need, like, especially last night against the Wizards, they were running them, especially at the point of attack. I mean, Gary Trent Jr. was, I believe, minus 26 in the amount of minutes that he played. Bro. That's tough to do. That's actually, like, I'm surprised.
It's hard.
Yeah, it's hard to do minus 26 in the amount of minutes that you played. So I really think that comes down to the point of attack. It's them being able to essentially just attack guys at the as the name goes, at the point of attack. Yeah. And when you have Doughton, a guy who can stifle guards, who can fight through screens, who can navigate well, I think that's the type of guy that you should be looking for off your bench, despite Barton being probably a better offensive fit in terms of shooting and whatnot. So that's my question going forward. If Barton can start hitting 40% of his threes, maybe this is a different story. But so far, I'm not sure.
Yeah. I got a video coming out on Monday about Jeff Doughton. I was going to release it yesterday, but I'm like, no, I'll wait a little bit. You know, they got the game happening, and I was going to do it today, but then I'm like, I'm going to do a pod with you. So I'll do it on Monday. But in the end, he's an NBA caliber backup point guard at the very least. And people want what he does.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't think he's going to be a free agent for much longer. I think he's going to get an NBA contract. And I think it's going to happen very soon, whether it's with the Raptors or not. I hope it's with the Raptors, to be honest with you. I think he fits his team like a glove.
Man, when they initially waived Wancho, I assumed it was, we're going to be converting.
Me too. me too. You know, and then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. If they stagger the minutes properly with their starters, I think there is a nice fit there just simply because of the shooting. And they struggle with having players off their bench who can attack a closeout, and Precious Achiuwa, quick little pivot here, has been really struggling the past couple of days. He doesn't really seem to know when he has to get off the ball, and he's getting his pocket picked. He's been a train wreck in his minutes. He's getting beat off the dribble. He's not contesting at the rim. It's just been really, really messy. It's like a person who's going through some internal struggles right now. He's kind of losing his confidence a little bit. And then sometimes he's like, oh, wait, I'm Presley Chua. I'm a talented guy. Let's go in there. And then again, turnover. Finding ways to utilize him is going to be really important too. And maybe we're talking about a lot of different pieces, you know, Gary, Will, Precious. I think there's something there where if you're staggering them properly, you can get the best out of all of them. And that is really important for the Raptors, especially if they want to preserve Fred and Pascal, their minutes, and avoid them, you know, falling down the pooper in their minutes in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, exactly.
But Fred has to hit shots though. He has to really, really hit shots.
Yeah. I mean, look, this team is going to go as far as their former all-star point guard is going to take them. I understand that Pascal Siakam is a massive part of this team, a huge part. He's their enigmatic star. Jakob Poeltl has came in and really revitalized that defense for the starting lineup. Bench questions be damned. So those guys are very important as well. But in terms of how this offense works, I mean, even last night, Fred somehow ended up winning his minutes despite the loss. I think that goes to show you the impact that the man could have even despite the shooting. The shooting absolutely is crucial. Yeah. He was awful last night from the field, but you will really only go as far as he goes. And I think a lot of people in the games that Fred was missing kind of recognized how important Fred's creation was, his passing, his playmaking was. And I think that's key now moving forward as well. I guess the question is just like, hey, will he ever find that jumper back consistently? Because January, he was really good. Even the first couple of weeks of February, he was back on. The jumper was working. He was hitting his shots. And then, you know, the personal absence and him being out, obviously the birth of his child, he's back and now the jumper isn't there again. So to find that rhythm again, in this very, very small amount of time, you only got 19, 18 games left. And, you know, we'll see what happens from here.
Wonder how him and his wife decided between Layla and Lila, because my wife and I had the same struggle and we went with Lila.
Nice. So,
What's
Layla, the nice name. Is there a spelling distinction here?
I think he went L-A-I-L-A, and we did L-Y-L-A.
Right. Okay.
I decided that part. Credit to my wife. She was the one who came up with the name. And once I heard it, I was like, we're going with that.
Yeah.
But how are we going to spell it? And she was like, is it I or Y? I'm like, it's Y. It looks better. And I took way too much credit because she came up with the name, actually. But anyways, whatever.
That's awesome. It's a beautiful name. You're right. That is a beautiful name, though.
Layla is, too. Very nice name. With Fred, so I mentioned Gafford, his size is a problem in the pick and roll. I wonder if they should, you know, just like set in stone that they're going to set those screens a little bit higher. Like, well.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Well beyond the three-point line. That way just creates a bit more space for Fred to pull up from three if he wants to. And also, if you can get, you know, Jakob on the roll, he's so good around the rim. You just let him make a decision. And also, there's more space now just in the paint in general. And so if you have like an OG or you got Scotty in the dunker spot or whatever, like there's another avenue for some offense. I think that's a decent way to go about things. They need that pick and roll to work. Right.
Well, also, if you set that screen higher, you're now putting Gafford in a more precarious position because he's now in more space and he's like, I don't know how to maneuver this. Whereas if you started a little bit lower, he's more comfortable in that drop scenario. Higher up, he's going to have to deal with a lot more. Yeah. And then Fred can kind of turn that corner, get him off the bounce, and then maybe get him on his hip. So I think that's possible. I think that makes sense. That's a good adjustment to have. I think more so than anything, though, is that they're creating good looks out of these short roll opportunities with Jakob. Mm-hmm. You see it. You saw it against Chicago. You saw it against Washington last night. They're creating a lot of good looks. Pick and roll, Jakob in the short roll. Now it's 3-on-2, and now he can either kick it to the corner or find the guy in the dunker spot, which is usually either Pascal or OG. If you can figure that out, if you can really hone in on making those corner shots, right? And that goes to Gary, that goes to OG, that goes to Pascal, that goes to Scotty, then you're working with something here. It all comes down to hitting shots. And man, it's unfortunate to say, but it's a make or miss league, and the Raptors they shot 25% or 26% whatever it is from three last night, so it's tough to swallow. 26% from three, so
don't shortchange them. Scotty Barnes at point guard, I think they have to utilize that more, and I hear what you're saying about, you know, you want stability, and Fred and Pascal offer that, although they didn't play too well last night. Well, Pascal had a good first half, second half was not good at all. But if you're able to, I mentioned Gafford and Scotty, the Jakob Poeltl, a pick and roll between them two, I think is really intriguing, especially if you're able to collapse the defense just like that. And Jordan Goodwin is not a tall player. If you're able to get Scotty in that matchup, DeLon Wright, Bradley Beal, like they had some success with that in the first quarter of using Scotty against those guys. And then they went away from it in the first, in the second and third. I'm not sure why, especially when they were struggling on offense, but they decided to. And I don't think that can be the case when you are already struggling and you have a post-up threat right there. Like Pascal, I mean, I'm saying he had a not so good second half, but there was no space for him either. And he had to, you know, he was depending on his 3-point shot to get some points up on the board, and it wasn't there for him. That's, you know, he's been good in 2023 along with Fred. They've been good from the 3-point line, but you need to utilize Scotty more just to generate some more offense. And he's a person who can bend defenses. And I love the idea of, if we're talking about, you know, high pick and rolls, like you have Scotty Barnes going downhill like that, even if it's Daniel Gafford playing drop, like that is appealing to me. And then you have shooters like Gary and Will Barton on the corners. Like you got something going there, and that is something that should work, but Scotty has to be a threat.
Yeah. And Scotty has shown in the past that he can take advantage of a guy that's bigger than him, that he can bully him a little bit. And he's shown that he can kind of outstrength and still find a way to kind of finish over the top of the defender. Yeah. He got blocked by Porzingis on one of his attempts, from what I remember night the fourth, which was like a tough look. But those are the types of opportunities that you should be looking for. And I think I think him being able to adjust and figure out, like, look, I get the whole fourth quarter Scotty thing. I think for him, it's really a feeling out factor. Like for the first two or three quarters of the game, he's really just trying to feel out where he fits in the game, how he's needed, where he's needed. And then in the fourth quarter, he's like, okay, well, let's try to be a little bit more aggressive. Let's look for our own. And then that way, maybe that helps others. I think with Scotty, the goal is to probably get that fourth quarter becoming a more consistent habitual thing where he doesn't have to feel out the thing for three quarters or two quarters and then turn it up in the second half. Whereas in the first quarter, he's feeling it out second, third, fourth quarter. Now he's in attack mode. And when Scotty is in attack mode, good things happen. That's just clear 100%. As day. When he is aggressive, 100%. When he's looking for his own shot, good things happen. So I agree with you. Getting him more involved, getting him more going downhill is the way to go.
And probably also that is getting Bradley Beal more actions, because Bradley Beal is not a great defender. No. He doesn't give two you-know-whats about defense unless he really has to. And there was a few occasions last night when the Raptors were running their flex coverages and Fred was screened on Bradley Beal, and OG got a couple layups out of it. And I think you have to keep on attacking that. That is something that you can use. And like making Bradley Beal work on defense is going to help your offense too. And it's also going to help your defense. It's going to help everything. If you make him work on that end of the court, and it's going to make things harder on him. It's going to make things harder on the Wizards. Kyle Kuzma is still a problem, though. If he's shooting like that, I mean, like, damn, man. Those are some really unique shots. You just have to bank that he's not going to make those again tomorrow. You have to press up on him a little bit more. There were a few occasions, especially in the second quarter, when Precious wasn't, doing very good things. Yep. he's sagging behind the 3-point line, and Kyle Kuzma's just like pulling up from three, and I was like, "Bro, what are you doing?" And there was one screen and roll that they ran, and Chris followed them into the rim, and Precious sagged off. And after he made the shot, Chris is just like, "The hell are you doing?"
Yeah. No, sometimes
Michaels,
it feels
what
like,
are you doing?
Yeah, right, right.
No, he's Triple H. Sorry. He's Triple H. My bad. Precious to Triple H. Chris is Shawn Michaels.
Chris is Shawn Michaels. No, yeah. But sometimes it does feel like Precious is just not he's not in the game. Like he's just a conduit of some sorts, just following through, going through the motions. Again, that's sort of a part of being a young guy in the league and like figuring out when you're going to be an active participant in a game, because I think Scotty goes through this sometimes too. And that's probably part of the whole fourth quarter Scotty thing, is like, he is just going through the motions of the game. He's just really just kind of following what's happening versus trying to be an active participant.
Yeah.
What you mentioned earlier about Precious Achiuwa, in the sense that like, he is so good at attacking closeouts when he wants to, and when he's able to leverage his athleticism to do these tough finishes, the great dunks, the blow bys, etc. All that stuff is so true, it's so potent, and it's when he's an active participant, it's when he's actively looking to figure out what he can do to break the defense down. And then on the defensive end, I think the same thing applies. It's how are you going to impact the game? I remember during media day, but one of these practices, I was watching their media availability, and Precious was asked about Jakob Poeltl's presence and how that may help him defensively. He's like, honestly, bro, I don't need anybody else to help me defensively. And I feel like he took that as a slight, right? And you know, since then, his defense has not been the greatest.
Sure.
But he has to take on those, you know, take that as a competition point. Jakob is out here destroying the starter minutes. They're plus 30 every time he's on the court, whereas when they sub you in off the bench, they're bleeding points defensively. If you can be that defensive anchor,
sure,
now's the time to prove it.
Nick Nurse said after the game that the start of the second quarter and the start of the fourth quarter has hurt us all year. And he's kind of talking about Precious and Chris a little bit. And I respect that Precious has been, you know, throttled into these positions like throughout the season, where he's like the safety guy. You know, OG's out, okay, Precious in. Don't have a backup center, Precious in. Need someone to make something happen off the dribble because we have a really crappy lineup out there, go out there and do something, Precious. So some stability for him is really important. And that's why I like the idea of Will Barton coming on, because it just makes sense. We're having a roster that just like from top to tail, you're seeing, okay, so that's a center, that's a point guard, these are shooting guards. There's balance there, but now he has to adjust again into a different role once again. And he's struggling with that a little bit, but he's got to figure it out quickly.
Yeah.
It's kind of, he has to figure it out quickly. And the competition, the compete has to be higher. I hear what you're saying. I think he is competing, but I think there has to be a mental focus with that too. You have to be a second ahead. And there's occasions last night where he didn't attack, where I'm just like, you got this fella here, the baseline's wide open. Like, that's when you do attack. But then other occasions, like he's attacking right into like a collapsed defense and then throw the ball over. I'm like, well, that's not it, man. That's not it.
Yeah. Yeah. Or he goes straight into his post up and then he can't post the guy up and then he just fumbles the ball.
Yeah.
The handle falls off. Yeah. Look, it's the highs and lows with Precious Achiuwa. Sure. Very similar to what it was last year. It's just that last year, at this point in the season, he was really breaking through. The three-point shot was converting really well.
Obviously,
things were figuring it out. He looked more poised, more thing. This year, it's been kind of hit or miss. It's sometimes he's on. You know, when he came back from his injury in January, he was excellent, exceptional. And now he's kind of fallen into a bit of a rut. It's for him and for Scotty, and even to a certain extent, Gary, it's finding a way that you can be consistent, and not just consistent in your shot making, not just consistent in how many points you have on the board, but how you can impact the game in other ways. And clearly for this Raptors team, it's defensively. Yeah. That goes for Scotty. That goes for Precious. That goes for Gary. Those are guys that they need to rely on. As you mentioned, transitional lineups and the way that they can be good defensively, it's on those three. Those three plus Chris are the guys that are going to be transitioning through these lineups. And if you can find a way for those guys to impact your games defensively, you're going to win them. The reason they pulled out that Bulls game was because of some massive plays down the stretch by Scottie Barnes defensively.
Yeah.
He was the one who, you know, the block shots, obviously, but he was more feisty at the point of attack. He was great as a helper and as a roamer. And if you can,
and that's his strength too. That's like where he's at his best, is by roaming, being a roamer defender, like a Draymond Green kind of.
Yeah, exactly. I think, man, you know, I've said this a bunch on Twitter. I've mentioned it a bunch in past, but like putting your players in a position to succeed. And I think Scotty being in a position to be that roamer, that guy at the weak side, help side guy who can be that defender, that's where he's going to be at his best defensively. Yeah. Maybe Precious is similar to that, where he can be your help side guy, your rotation guy to kind of dirty up things, if you will, on the defensive end. Maybe that's the way to go. Again, with 18, 19 games left, I don't remember which one it is. It's either 18 or 19. With that many games left, you don't have the luxury of let's try things, let's figure things out. They need to win.
Sure.
And they need to win very quickly. So, yeah.
And that's why I was surprised that Nick sat Jakob for so long in the first half, is that this is winning time. I understand that you are trying to incorporate these new pieces and you're trying to make something that makes sense. But at the same time, man, like, you need to win these games. Like, the sixth spot in the Eastern Conference is up for grabs. The Brooklyn Nets are crumbling. Right. Yes. And they got a West Coast trip coming up. They're losing games constantly. And the Miami Heat, Atlanta Hawks, Toronto Raptors, the Washington Wizards now, because they're now in 10th after the win last night. Like, they're all looking at that spot like, we're not that far away and this team is going to go down.
Yeah. So no, the Nets,
really weird decision, man.
The Nets are absolutely going to slide down to, at the very least, 8th or 9th.
Yeah.
And I think there's a chance they slide down even more than that. I'm not sure, but like, with that team falling off a cliff, you are being gifted a playoff spot. Uh-huh. Essentially, you are being gifted a playoff spot. It's whether you are going to take it, or Washington is going to take it, or Atlanta or Miami are going to take it. I think you're in a good position. Even still, despite that loss, the Raptors are only one game back of the Hawks for eighth. They're only 2.5 games back of Miami for seventh. So there's still... there's still a way that they can end up being maybe a top six, most likely a 7 or 8. Yeah. It just depends on them figuring out things and doing so consistently. And obviously, the Saturday matchup against the Wizards is you have to win. There's no other outcome that is possible. Yeah.
And they're not going to win a game where the Wizards are scoring 119 points. The Raptors are 108. And I think that's where they're probably most comfortable. Their offense wasn't good last night, but they're probably going to end up, if they win tomorrow, they're going to have around 108 points, or maybe even less. And the Wizards are going to have a lot less. The point of attack defense, their on-ball defense has to be better. The coverages sometimes, like, it was confusion, guys not understanding where they got to be, but like, the help side wasn't good. Support wasn't behind doubles, wasn't good. They're doubling Bradley Beal, and then there's, you know, a pocket pass and there's a layup right there and no one's underneath the rim. That was happening a lot, And
man, shout out to Steve Jones Jr. on Twitter, Dunker Spot Podcast.
You don't got to plug it, man. Everybody knows.
tremendous podcast. It's a great podcast. But no, he goes on Twitter and sometimes he'll thread Raptors games and he does his hey, this is the game, the annual what are the Raptors doing on defense tweet. And it's true. Sometimes you just like the rotations, just it's like a lapse in communication, whether it be on a switch, whether it be on whether they're going to be picking up higher in the pick and roll, or who the helper is going to be, who's going to be tagging the guy rolling, all of that stuff. There's just so many miscommunications at times. It just feels like the Raptors are not cohesive enough at times on defense. And that's why you see Jakob being so impactful defensively, because at the point of attack, no matter how many defensive miscues that they have, Jakob is still there as a backline defender and he can stop guys at the rim. And that's why they are so good defensively when he's on the court, because even if those miscommunications happen at the point of attack, Jakob is still there behind you to be able to work things out and clean things up. Whereas off the bench, you're still having those miscommunications at the point of attack, and there isn't that guy, that deterrent there in the middle to be able to stop them.
Mike Ganter last night, or yesterday, or a few days ago, rather, he was asking Nick Nurse about, you know, what's changed about the defense other than Jakob Poeltl? Like, what is, like, really, do you see a difference in how guys are communicating? More hustle? What is it? And Nick Nurse has kept on tiptoeing around it, but in the end, the answer was, we have Jakob Poeltl. Like, we just have Jakob Poeltl. And the struggle right now, as I mentioned earlier on, they were outscored 50-30 when Jak wasn't on the court yesterday. That is terrible, man.
Staggering.
Terrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really, really bad. And I guess you could say that, okay, well, probably most lineups would have a backup center, like a true backup center, but that's not how the Raptors are built. And actually, I don't think that they necessarily want to be built that way. I mean, Jakob Poeltl is a specific kind of rim protector, and there's only a few of them out there. Like, there isn't that many mobile centers out there, if you really think about it, right? And that's why I think they were so keen on bringing him in. And also, you know, why they weren't willing to give up Gary Trent Jr. is that they want Gary and Jakob Poeltl on the team together.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree with you. Yeah. They definitely are. And this will be important moving forward in the summer, how they want to build this team, because obviously Gary, Jakob, and Fred are all free agents. They can walk if they want to. I think they re-sign all three of them, whether it be through moving some other guys to create the space or whether
what are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking about. you know, read in between the lines, ladies and gentlemen. But no, I think there's a way that they can salvage this and keep all three of the guys. My question becomes, when you have Gary, who isn't the greatest point of attack defender, Fred has taken a step back at the point of attack. Scotty Barnes is not ready at the point of attack to defend. You're now putting a lot of pressure on your backline defender. You're really putting a lot of pressure on your backline defender. So I have questions about the Raptors' point of attack defense moving forward.
Yeah.
I don't know where those questions will be answered though. So
Jeff Down Jr. I'm kidding. Yes. Kind of.
Maybe.
Kind of.
Maybe. Potentially. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. As you close up the pod, I mean, I just want to Jeff Down Jr. Like I've been so intrigued and happy with how he's played since he became a Raptor. And I'm going back to Summer League. He popped out back then. How good he was as a defender. There's signs of three level scoring, and he's shown it at the G League level multiple times. We saw it in Summer League, and in that Cleveland game, which was the last time he actually played, he had some shots. I'm like, that is Jeff Doughton Jr. And I don't think he was taking those shots earlier on when he was getting some minutes with the Raptors, because he's just like, I am a hooper. I'm going to do exactly what I'm told. I am trying to get a contract in the NBA. I'm with the team now. And he was forced into positions where he had to shoot. He had a pull-up three. He had like a couple of, you know, drives towards the rim. I'm like, this is a guy, man. This is what people want. Like, imagine having a actual legit point of attack defender as your backup point guard.
I think
that's so intriguing. Like the NBA now. Sorry, just one more thing. Like the way the things are spaced out in the NBA now, man. You got players in the corners. Like the paint is wide open. You need someone that's going to guard Ja Morant.
Yep. You need someone that's going to be willing to
capably.
Yeah. Well, someone that's just willing to do the dirty work. A lot of guys are like, when they know the defensive scheme and they know that, oh, I'm going to be switching this anyways, or I'm going to be Xing out on this defender, so I don't need to fight through this screen as hard. So, hey, I can just kind of move on to what my next spot should be.
Sure.
You need a guy who is still hungry, who is still like willing to do the dirty work. And Jeff Doughton is a guy who has shown that he's been willing to do the dirty work, whether it's stepping over and fighting through a screen, lock and trail, and then be able to swing over and do the X out if they make the pass. I think all of that stuff is crucial.
Yeah,
development to figuring out guys who can find like the marginal guys, and the Raptors for a very long time were great at finding those marginal guys. Fred VanVleet at one point was that marginal guy that they could throw out there. Maybe Jeff Doughton can have a similar type of success. Who knows? But
if we're curious what the value is of a rear view contest, look at what the Wizards did yesterday with DeLon Wright.
Yeah.
A lot of value in it, right? And when you drop coverage is becoming so much more common now because offenses are crazy. You need someone that could do a legit rear view contesting. Like Fred's good at it too, but also Jeff Doughton, you know, he's 6'3". That's on the higher end of a typical point guard in the NBA. I mean, Scotty Barnes is like a different case, but usually, you know, 6'1", 6'2", 6'3", whatever, like that's what you're going to be, you're hoping for with your point guard. And Jeff is that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I completely agree with you. He has the size, his shoulders. Yeah. He's got the broader shoulders as a point guard. So he clearly can. Yeah. Quick the feet are quick feet.
Twitchy.
He's good, man. I really think there's a spot in the rotation for him. I really do think so. So hopefully it ends up happening, man. We'll see what happens.
Know. Yeah. All right, man. What do you got coming up here? Anything fun?
Yeah. So, I have a Jalen Brunson video that is out right now on SDPN Sports. Nice. If you're interested, actually, for the Raptors fans in here, I kind of make a comparison to how Kyle Lowry was at the start of his Raptors tenure to what Jalen Brunson is doing right now at the start of his next Knicks tenure. Go ahead and watch it. I think it's an interesting comparison. You can go and check it out. Nice. and determine that for yourself. Also out right now is the Objective Basketball Podcast. I did a interview with Matt Babcock, who is a NBA draft analyst. Also, his uncle is Rob Babcock, who Raptors fans will know. Uh-huh. From his days as Raptors general manager, trading Vince Carter, if you will.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace as well, yes. Obviously. Yes. So we had a podcast discussing the 2023 nice. NBA draft. You can go and check that out, the Objective Basketball Podcast. And yes, Amit, I appreciate you, man. Thank you very much for always having me on this podcast, man.
Yeah, so much fun talking to you. Good dude, talented people. Love having them on.
Yes, sir.
The Raptors have to win on Saturday.
Yes, they do. Yeah, that's the only answer, folks. We're 30 plus minutes into this. The only thing we have for you is the Raptors must win on Saturday.
Yeah. I sent a meme yesterday. I'm not sure if I should say the words on it because it's the F word, but I think essentially what it's saying that if you mess around too much, you're gonna get I think the timing was perfect. Didn't perform as well as I think it probably should have. But anyways, the Raptors, like, they can't play with their food tomorrow. It's like they have to win this game. And Jakob Poeltl has to play 37, 38, 49 minutes somehow.
Yep.
Gains 48 minutes. I don't care. He has to play 49.
Yeah.
All right. Everyone have a good weekend. We'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.